Yo, Knicks fans, what's good? I am Josh So Focused, and this is the Knicks Take Podcast. Knicks Take Podcast is a weekly podcast where we cover the biggest Knicks news of the week. Make sure you check us out on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter slash X, and search for the Knicks Take. Also, make sure you check out our website at knickstake.com. Make sure that you subscribe wherever it is that you're listening to us on, watching us on. Make sure you give us 5 stars if you're on iTunes, Click that thumbs up button if you're watching us on YouTube. Make sure you follow. Make sure you send this to any fellow Knicks fans who might be watching and any basketball fans that you might know. Let them know, hey, you like the Knicks? I got a new podcast for you. Check us out.
The Knicks Take Podcast.
Yeah, what it do? Mobbing with the crew, nothing new. I thought you knew, thought I was falling off. Blessings keep on falling through. Oh, don't panic, dog. Grow a boo. I can't lose. No, I can't lose.
And, as you can see, it's me by myself today. No French, the bro host. Unfortunately, a lot of things have happened this past weekend. First, I don't know if you could tell, I'm not feeling the greatest. We've had some other technical difficulties, some other issues. And then we had some scheduling issues to where, hey, now you just got me today. But that's fine. We're just going to keep it rocking and rolling. Try and make it a shorter episode this week. But with the shorter episode, you also get the bonus of an extra game that we initially were not going to do this week because we recorded a little bit later. Now we get to include another game. Originally, we were only going to do the Knicks versus the Charlotte Hornets, then Knicks at Minnesota Timberwolves. Knicks was versus the Miami Heat was going to be the final game, but instead the final game is going to be Knicks versus the Phoenix Suns for a recap. We originally were going to record before that game. Luckily for you guys, we got to watch that game and get a recap of that game also in addition. And also, as usual, we are going to cover the upcoming games for this week, and we'll get into those later. But first, Knicks at the Charlotte Hornets. This was on Saturday, right after we recorded last week, on November 18th, 6 o'clock. Quentin Grimes was out due to that hand injury that he suffered in the previous game, which meant Dante DiVincenzo would start. And speaking of starting, the Knicks got off to a great start, went 20-9 to start the game off with less than 7 minutes in the first quarter. Jalen Brunson, a.k.a. the Brunson Burner, was off to a hot start, 10 points in the first. The big ragu, a.k.a. Dante DiVincenzo, seemed to fit like a glove with the starting unit. And the fact that he played so well as a starter, it led to a lot of people wondering, maybe he should be a permanent starter over Quentin Grimes. And I'll talk about that a little bit later, but it was a great, great, great start for that for the team. Those two set the table for the team the entire night. Brunson had 26 points at halftime. Dante DiVincenzo, 11 points, 2 steals, 2 assists, 2 rebounds at the half. Julius Randle and RJ Barrett had 12 points combined on terrible efficiency at halftime. And it was 61-50 at the half for New York. Anytime Charlotte made a push, somebody would hit a big shot, whether it would be Jalen Brunson, Dante DiVincenzo. Somebody would hit a good shot, and Hornets would never get the score closer than 5 after the first quarter. The only quarter that the Knicks were actually outscored in was the third quarter. They were outscored 30-28, and the Knicks win big, 122-108. That was their first back-to-back, wire-to-wire victory between this game and the previous game against the Washington Wizards, the first back-to-back, wire-to-wire victory in 16 years. What that means is they had 2 straight games where they led the entire game. First time in 16 years. That's pretty impressive for this team. only thing, other thing I got for this game. LaMelo Ball and Brandon Miller, pretty good. That's it. That's all I got. And that Charlotte Hornets team is not a good team. We played them the week before, played them again. It seems like we're trying to get all the games out against Charlotte in the year of 2023. And good thing that we are, because it's boosting up the Knicks record. So Knicks followed up their game at Charlotte with another game on Monday, November 20th, against the Minnesota Timberwolves. So the Knicks started this game looking real good, hitting some shots, played Minnesota, who was one of the best teams in the Western Conference, played them very well. Brunson and RJ Barrett in particular started off well in the first. They scored 19 of the Knicks' first quarter points. Knicks scored 28 points, and Brunson and Barrett both had 19 of those points. So that means the rest of the team only scored 9 points combined. Julius Randle and Mitchell Robinson could not stop the tandem of Karl Anthony Towns and Lil Jody, a.k.a. Rudy Gobert. As we said in the last episode, Lil Jody, it's reference to Baby Boy, where Jody got choked out by Melvin, much like Rudy Gobert got choked out by Draymond Green. But he wasn't Lil Jody on this night. He outplayed Mitchell Robinson. Karl Anthony Towns just abused Julius Randle. Julius Randle couldn't do anything with him offensively or defensively. In addition, the Knicks were missing a lot of shots in the paint and around the rim, and that was a fact that wouldn't bode well moving forward in this game. After the second quarter, where both teams shot poorly, the Knicks seemed lucky to only be down 2 at halftime. The score at halftime was 58-56. And at this point at halftime, you could go either one of two ways. You could say, well, the Knicks could play better, and if they play better, maybe they could come out of this with a victory. Or you could say the Knicks are lucky to be in this game, and if the Timberwolves figure it out, this is going to get ugly real quick. The last one is what actually happened, guys. Minnesota came out, just absolutely scorched the Knicks. Knicks couldn't really take advantage of anything. They were outscored 35-19. They out-rebounded 14-11. And they were just outplayed overall in that third quarter. Minnesota went up by as many as 22 points. And, you know, from the point that it went up 22, it's like the game's not really in doubt. Like, I expected the Knicks to kind of make a push, you know, try and make this a game. But there was nothing in this game that made you really think that they would get back in it. And Minnesota's not the team that you can go down 22 points and really come back and actually try to get the win. Like, they're not that team. So this ended up being, game where the Knicks ended up fighting, but because they went down so bad in the third quarter, it was really not a game. Timberwolves win 117-100. This was a rare game where the Knicks never really put together a quarter that showed what they're capable of. Usually the Knicks have a quarter where they stop the other team by, you know, defending super well, keeping them without scoring a field goal for 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 7 minutes. And the Knicks never really could do that to where they could make this a game. It's really hard to come back when you're down 20 points. But as you'll see coming up with one of the upcoming games, just because you're down 20 points doesn't really mean anything. So Knicks leave Minnesota with a loss. They get about four days off before their next game on Friday against the Miami Heat in Madison Square Garden. They had an in-season tournament game on Friday. As you probably already know, in-season tournament games are on Tuesdays and Fridays in the NBA. This would be the Knicks' third in-season tournament game against them. This would be their first against the Miami Heat. Miami Heat is the team that knocked them out of the playoffs in the second round last year. And as I said last week, this is a game where there's just a lot for them to play for in this game. The Heat knocked them out of the playoffs last year. The Knicks didn't really play their best. A couple of their players were injured. And they should have come up with, came into this game having something to prove. And I was at this game. My brother was at this game, although we were in two different sections. And it was a little quiet in the garden. I'm not gonna lie. To start the game, I was like, and other people made comments about this. It's a little quiet. And maybe that's because a lot of the fans were feeling tense. This was a team that knocked us out of the playoffs. Nobody wants to come into a game all rah, 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 and then watch the game and watch a team who has you figured out just completely obliterate you. You'd rather just start off quiet, and then if your team gives you a reason to cheer and be happy, yeah, that's what we're going to do. Well, Knicks started off okay. They got off to a lead. I should do a lead in, actually. The Heat came off of their biggest win so far in the season against the Donovan Mitchell-less Cleveland Cavaliers. Blew them out by like 30. No Tyler Hero. Bam Adebayo was a little questionable to play, but he did end up playing in this game. Knicks started off playing well. Offense got started early thanks to Julius Randle. Miami roared back to take the lead and go up 4, but the Knicks fought back. RJ Barrett and the bench unit regained the lead over the Miami Heat, and I felt like that was the best ball movement that the Knicks had all night, with that bench unit featuring RJ Barrett. And really, anytime Julius Randle wasn't on the court, anytime Julius Randle was on the court, it kind of felt like the Knicks were losing those minutes. And as I watched the score and as I watched the stats as the game went on, I was like, yeah, the player out there, or at least in the starting unit, the player who is losing us these minutes was Julius Randle. But for some reason, he seemed to be getting a lot of the minutes. So starting lineup without RJ Barrett gave up that lead. And yeah, it just was a really back and forth matchup where it seemed like anytime Randle was on the court, the Knicks just couldn't catch a break. They couldn't execute the way that they needed to. And even though the game started off with Randle shooting well or setting up the offense, most of the first half was really just kind of like, Randle doesn't need to be on the court. And then, of course, what happens at the end of the first half? Randle drives and passes to Quentin Grimes for a buzzer-beating three to put the Knicks up 51-50 at the half. Makes sense, right? I can't make sense of it. I can't make sense of why this guy just can't be consistent to save his life in a game. But that's the Julius Randle experience. So this is the second straight game where the third quarter of doom happens. And he outscored the Knicks 37-20. It looked over. I was ready to walk out. And there's something about this team that makes you want to say, nah, I can't do that. This team has done enough to prove that you should never count them out until it's the final minutes of the game. So sure enough, fourth quarter. Actually, before the fourth quarter, at the end of the third, they showed a little life. Manuel quickly comes in, starts knocking down threes, gives a little energy. It's still a double-digit game, high double digits, 18, 17, 16 points. But you could see that when quickly came in, the rest of the team started getting energy. And specifically, once again, once Julius Randle, our second best player, once he leaves the court, the rest of the team started picking up that energy. And they close what was once a 21-point Miami Heat lead to 10 points. Then RJ Barrett hits a three to cut it to 7. Miami then extends the lead. It was like, okay, that was our push. Maybe this is it. And then Manuel quickly hits a three to cut it to 6. Brunson and Barrett go off for 10 straight points unanswered to put the Knicks up 99-96. And what's interesting about this fourth quarter in specific is Miami started the quarter with 89 points. And we're talking about a game where the Knicks come back from down 21. And after 10 straight points, now they're up 99-96. At the end of the game, you felt like if they can get away with this one, if they can win this one, oh, that would be so great. And we just have to get past these last few seconds. And of course, what happens? The ball ends up in Jimmy Butler's hands. He gets over to the three-point line. I yell, "Don't give up a three." Knicks are up two. And what do? Jimmy Butler shoots the three. It looks like it's going to go right in, but it rims out. Knicks win 100-98 on some spectacular play from Manuel Quickly, Jalen Brunson, and RJ Barrett to end the game. Julius Randle did get back in the game in the last 4 minutes, but he never really saw the ball. The only time he touched the ball was to grab the rebound after Jimmy Butler missed his three. And, you know, all got to be the best win of the season. It's probably going to be one of the best wins all year when we look back into it. This is not going to be, you know, probably not going to be a season-defining win the way this win they won over the Dallas Mavericks last year, that win that turned the season around. But this could have set a trend after getting blown out by the Timberwolves and then going down 21 against the Miami Heat. This could have set a trend to where now you're wondering what direction this Knicks team is going. But this team is made of some strong stuff, and they showed it in this game. And you just have to be overall happy with, even when their top, one of their top three players isn't playing well in Julius Randle, who I'll get into in a second. They still can grit it out, get that gritty win, and just move forward and get a win when it doesn't look like they can. So, final thoughts. Julius started off okay. He hit the first three of the game and had some good plays, good passes. But you could see the Julius Randle experience in this game. Yeah, some of the best moments of the game featured him. Some of the worst moments of the game featured him. And ultimately, what can I say about Julius Randle that I haven't already said? It's just frustrating to see a player that you know has the ability to make you one of the best teams in the league, and he's just capping what it is that you're able to do, just with his inability to either play smarter or play harder or play consistently. And this is something that we're going to be probably saying all season. It's going to frustrate us all season, and it's going to be hard for us to deal with because you can't trade him for equal talent. You can't trade him and expect to get better. You can't trade him for a star because they're not going to give up a star for Julius Randle unless he plays better. And if he plays better, you're talking about a guy who could be a top 10 or 15 player if he fixes the things that he needs to fix. That's not a guy you give up on. But you don't expect him to do it. So what do you do with that? He's an all-star. But he just gets in your way, man. What do you say about Julius? excuse me. Emmanuel Quickly deserves a ton of credit for this Knicks victory. He is absolutely the star of this game. He, RJ, and Brunson all scored 8 points in the fourth quarter. And he was the Knicks' leading scorer, Emmanuel Quickly was, in the third quarter with 6 points. He finished with 20 points, 2 assists, 4 rebounds, absolutely changed the game for the Knicks, absolutely made all of the Garden faithful proud to be Knicks on that day. And I went home happy and sick. And yeah, that was when I really realized I wasn't feeling well during that game. Felt so great, but also I was so ready to go to sleep after that game. Great, great win for the Knicks. And I was hoping that would carry over into their next game in the Garden, where they would face off against the Phoenix Suns. This game happened last night as of this recording, Sunday. at 6 o'clock. And a little worrisome, Phoenix were coming in with a slew of victories, I believe 6 straight victories coming into this game. And you had, there was a little concern about whether KD was going to play, Mr. Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant hasn't lost to the New York Knicks since 2013. A little fun fact. So that was a little scary, but at game time, we realized, or it was announced, that Kevin Durant wasn't going to play. So it's like, okay, we have a chance at this one. And then the game started, and it seemed like maybe the after effects of that comeback victory against the Miami Heat was going to start to affect the Knicks a little bit. Eric Gordon, like, just went off from three to start, and the Knicks weren't really hitting shots until Jalen Brunson decided, you know what, that I'm going to put this team on my back again, and started going off. But basketball is a team sport, and the Knicks just were being out hustled, out rebounded by the Suns. Suns were just getting to all of the loose balls. They had a 16-7 rebound advantage over the Knicks, the Suns did, in the first quarter. And there's only so much one man can do. Usually the Knicks don't have this issue if they're not shooting well, or, you know, things are going a little slow. Usually they'll get to the loose balls. Usually they'll get the rebounds. Usually they'll get the offensive rebounds. But Phoenix was just everywhere. They were moving so well. They came into this game wanting this win. And it was very evident to start the game. The Knicks didn't start this game with the same amount of energy that the Phoenix Suns did. Phoenix went up by as many as 15 points in this game. But the New York Knicks played hard to not let this one get away. So unlike the last two games where the Knicks ended up getting down by double digits in the second half, this one the Knicks actually got down early in the game. And this led to them trying for the second half to try to get back into it and to play from behind. First half, I don't think the Knicks ever took the lead. Part of that was because Julius Randle, once again, he had a quiet first half, didn't shoot well, didn't really attack. He was just invisible in the first half. And I'm gonna take a little shot at my coach, Tom Thibodeau, because in a game like this where one of your starters is on fire and the rest of your starters are not really playing well, but one in particular is invisible, either because he doesn't want to shoot or he doesn't want to play physical or whatever, there's no reason why he should be clearly getting a bulk of the minutes over anybody else. I understand what Julius Randle can do, but in that first half, you needed to do something to light a fire into him to get him going. And yeah, we'll save the rest for later. Brunson, 20 points in the first half alone. And at halftime, it was 64-56. The Knicks started trying to chip away at the lead, but the Suns, to their credit, did not make it easy. Eventually, the Knicks do chip it away, and they do it with the assistance of one Julius Randle, who finally decided to show up on this game in the third quarter. He scored 17 points in the third, 14 of which came in the last 4 minutes and 38 seconds of the third quarter. Now, you can look at that and you can say, thank God we have Julius Randle. Or you can look at that and say, why did you wait until the last 5 minutes of the third quarter in a game that we've been down to finally decide, I'm going to take it to the hole and I'm going to make my shots? The way that he played in that third quarter was definitely not indicative of the way he played in the first half or in the fourth quarter. So you could go either way with this. The fourth quarter became a battle between the Suns and the New York Knicks, with the Suns trying to play keep away with the lead. And in the final minute, Emmanuel quickly draws a foul, sinks both of his free throws to make the score 113-111. And then the Knicks play such great defense. You have to watch the play where they force a shot clock violation on the Phoenix Suns. Gives them an opportunity to either tie or take the lead in the last minute of the game. And then who else but Mr. Brunson Burner, Jalen Brunson, sinks a clutch fadeaway jumper to tie it at 113 with 22 seconds remaining. All the Knicks have to do at this point is make a defensive stop, and it either goes into overtime, or if they get a steal, they can go back and they can take the lead. Suns get it to Devin Booker, who passes it off, but gets it right back, goes to the corner, lifts up for three, cash, knocks it down, 2 seconds left in the game. Suns up three after Devin Booker just delivers a heartbreaking three-pointer. But he gives us enough time for us to get the ball into one of our three-point shooters and send it to overtime. Knicks get it to Jalen Brunson. He lifts up, and the shot rims in and out. Suns win 116 to 113. And ultimately, this could have gone a lot of ways. Like, I could go a lot of ways with this one. Like, this could have gone either way at the end. But ultimately, you have to say, if the Knicks started off this game a little bit better, that would have given them the best chance to win. They just came out unprepared. The Suns out-Knicks'd the Knicks. They out-rebounded them, out-offensive-rebounded them. They got to all the loose balls. They did everything that the Knicks usually do in the first half, except they did it for a full 48. And if the Knicks played the full 48 minutes the way that they played in the second half, then maybe they would have won this game. But because they didn't come in with that effort, that's why they lost. I can't really be mad about this one. I've seen a lot of people be frustrated about this loss. You play against the Phoenix Suns team that doesn't have Kevin Durant, doesn't have Bradley Beal. But that Suns team is a pretty good team. Like, if those guys, if the supporting cast is hitting their three-pointers, it's not a team that you can take lightly. They wanted this one, and the Knicks didn't play like they wanted it for the full 48, and that's why they lost. So usually, or sometimes actually, not usually, but sometimes at this point, we would do the Knicks take of the week, because I'm going solo, and because I'm solo this week, I've decided I'm not going to do a real Knicks take of the week. I will leave you with this one, though. I am kind of monitoring Tom Thibodeau's usage of Josh Hart. And my question, which was originally going to be, should Dante DiVincenzo start over Quentin Grimes? I think there are reasons for and there are reasons against. I think we got to keep going with Quentin Grimes for a little bit. But my question is, should Josh Hart be playing a lot less minutes, considering he hasn't really had a good season this year? There are reasons for Josh Hart to be out there. Obviously, he's a very good rebounder, but so is Dante DiVincenzo. And specifically in this last game against Phoenix Suns, he played more minutes than both Quentin Grimes and Dante DiVincenzo. And I didn't really see a reason for that to be the case. Quentin Grimes played some really, really good defense on Devin Booker. I'd like to get into the stats when I have the opportunity to do so, but I do believe Quentin Grimes probably forced Devin Booker into more misses than anybody else on this team. And yet, Josh Hart was the guy who was put into the game at the end when we needed a defensive stop over Quentin Grimes. And I just don't agree with that. I think Tom Thibodeau needs to be looked at as, maybe this is favoritism. I understand that you like Josh Hart, but you also like Quentin Grimes. There's no reason for Josh Hart to be playing as many minutes as he is. I do believe he is the Knicks' fifth leading minute per game. Josh Hart is the Knicks' fifth leader in minutes per game. And I don't think that that should be the case. I don't think he's earned it. I think that on certain games, he is the Knicks' 6th, 7th, 8th best player. He's never had a game this year where he's even been in the top 5 in terms of best players in the Knicks. And His minutes need to be cut. So that's my Knicks take for the week. It's not a real one, but yeah, that's what I'm gonna leave you with. Now, upcoming games. Very familiar team coming up next tomorrow or today if we get this episode out on time. If we don't, then this game may have already happened. But the Knicks will be playing the Charlotte Hornets. Luckily, you're not missing much because I'm not going to give you much analysis on this game. We've played this team twice over the last 2 weeks. Don't need to get into this game again. It's the final in-season tournament game. Knicks are in a good spot. If the Knicks win this game, they will be at 3-1. If Miami beats the Milwaukee Bucks, there will be a three-way record tie between the Milwaukee Bucks, the Miami Heat, and the New York Knicks in the Eastern Conference Group B. The team with the highest point differential will be the representative of Group B. And most likely, whoever is second in point differential will attain that wild card spot. So the Knicks are in a good spot. I think that the Knicks can beat the Charlotte Hornets. I think that the Knicks could win by double digits, which will be very good for their point differential. And they will have an opportunity to actually, if they blow out the Charlotte Hornets, they will have an opportunity to actually represent Group B in the in-season tournament quarterfinals, which would be amazing for the Knicks. At the very least, if Milwaukee beats the Miami Heat, the Knicks should pretty much be in that wild card spot if they beat the Charlotte Hornets. Because if the Milwaukee Bucks beat the Miami Heat, they will have a record of 4-0, and the Miami Heat will be 2-2. LaMelo Ball just aggravated an ankle injury in last night's game on Sunday, so his status for that Knicks game is uncertain, which means even more so, there is no reason for the Knicks to lose to the Charlotte Hornets. Excuse me. Ooh, I was struggling. Ooh, all right. So, not much to say here. Knicks are going to get the W. They better get the W. If they don't, I'm probably going to be... I might miss the next Knicks Take podcast. French might have to do his own solo podcast next week if they lose this game against the Charlotte Hornets. That's all I'm going to say about that. Next up, Knicks versus the Detroit Pistons on Thursday, November 30th in the Garden. Pistons are 2-14 and they have not won a game in the month of November. So, much like the Charlotte Hornets game, there is absolutely no reason for the New York Knicks to lose this game. If they lose this game, I will say it again. French may have to record by himself in this next podcast. These are two victories. Dunton, maybe they're not going to be easy victories, but there's no reason the Knicks should lose. None. I will be pissed off. So I'll either be angry or I won't be here. Bojan Bogdanović, Joe Harris, and Monte Morris have all been injured and probably will still be injured by the time this game happens on Thursday. I've already told you what I think. Knicks win. And then we have the final game. Knicks versus the Toronto Raptors, Friday, December 1st. Now, that game is going to be a difficult one. Well, I shouldn't say it's going to be a difficult game. I will just say the Toronto Raptors are not the Charlotte Hornets. The Toronto Raptors are not the Detroit Pistons. They are actually playing pretty decently. They have an 8-9 record, almost 500. And Scottie Barnes has come to play this season. Like, he was playing trash last year. That's why the Raptors really couldn't do well. But this year, Scottie Barnes has been their best player or one of their best players on the Toronto Raptors. Do I think that that means that the Knicks are going to lose this game? No, but if you've paid attention to the dates that I've been giving you, this is the second half of a back-to-back. They will have played Detroit on Thursday, and then they're going to be playing, I believe it's going to be in Toronto on Friday, which means that the Knicks may come into that game tired. If the Knicks come into that game tired, they might have an excuse. I'm not even going to front. They might have an excuse for losing that game. I don't want them to lose that game. I think the Knicks need to take advantage of whatever you know, anytime they have a team who is worse than them, which I definitely believe the Toronto Raptors are still a tier below the Knicks, just like I felt Miami was a tier below the Knicks, just like I feel like the Atlanta Hawks is a tier below the Knicks. Toronto, listen, Toronto can beat a lot of teams. They've already beat the Indiana Pacers, the best offensive team in the league. The Dallas Mavericks, at one point they were the top seed in the West. They may still be. I'm not entirely sure. I'd have to look at the standings. And they've also beat the Milwaukee Bucks. This is a team that can beat you if you're not playing well. You can't come into that Toronto game the same way that you came into that Phoenix Suns game yesterday. If you do, the Toronto Raptors can beat you. And yeah, I think that, yeah, I think the Knicks will win. I say that a little hesitantly, but I think that the Knicks can win. I think that the Knicks are, I forgot to mention this one part. Mitchell Robinson in that Phoenix Suns game did land awkwardly, trying to get a dunk. He got his legs taken out from under him and landed on his back, lower back area / his buttock area. And he was still sore at the end of that game. I'm hoping since he was able to continue playing in that game and he finished that game off with no issues, I'm hoping that that means that he's gonna be fine by Friday. If he's not fine by Friday, then that kind of, this is why I'm kind of hemming and hawing, because he is going to be crucial against that Toronto Raptors team. That Toronto Raptors team has given us fits in the past. They're tall, they're lengthy, pause. And we need that big body in there. So I'm still going to call a win. But just be on the lookout for Mitchell Robinson. If Mitchell Robinson is not available, it's going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one away in Toronto, right on the second half of a back-to-back. So that's what I got. I've got the Knicks winning all of their upcoming games after losing that Phoenix Suns game. And yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this little solo podcast episode with me, Josh So Focused. If you did, please subscribe, please like, please hit the notification bell so that you can see when we have new episodes coming out. Give us 5-star rating, comment, let us know how you feel about these episodes. Let us know when we could do better. Let us know what you want to hear more of in these episodes. Yeah. So I'd like to thank you. I'd like to thank Hudson Valley Podcasting for once again setting up of another beautiful and beautifully rendered and all of the beautiful sounds or everything, and the way that we look, the way that these episodes come out, man, thank you, Hudson Valley. Thank you to all the fans. Thank you for everybody who's commenting. Thank you for the subscribers. Thank you for all the people who've given us likes. And on that note, we'd like to bid you adieu, as my brother French would say. Thank you for listening to the Knicks Take Podcast. Peace out, y'all.